Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic skyline of Buckhead, where the clouds are dark and gray. We've had a great deal of rain, and it is definitely fall out there. And last week we weren't with you because we were at the American Association of Christian Counselors, and unable to to break away and to do some things. At the same time, I noticed that in the government manuals that are being put out through the Army, through the FBI, through Homeland Security, they talk about extremist groups like Al-Qaeda and Hamas, and included in that are evangelical Christians and Catholics. Now, Dr. McGee and I last week were at the American Association of Christian Counselors convention in Nashville promoting the search for reality. And in that time, I remember thinking that the people there, job and vocation and avocation, is to help wounded Christian people become better human beings. So that means that if the Obama administration considers Christians to be extremists, then people that help make Christians better would be the special forces of Christianity. And that is our audience, those that can help others, and that includes you. It's an important role, and becoming more important, particularly as the moral fiber of this nation continues to atrophy, and it's getting to the point where there are areas where it ceases to exist. Now, in saying all of that, as an introduction, let me just say hello to Robert and to Stacy, who are both on the line. Robert, Stacy, you guys there?
Yeah. Hey, Jack.
Yeah,
I can hear you. Robert,
I'm just,
you there? How you doing?
Good. I'm just north of Houston, and I assure you, it's not fall here.
You're not following me?
I said it's not fall here. It's hot.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, you're in Texas, I suppose. And in Texas,
that's right.
that's hysterical. Well, Robert, what is on your mind today? I kind of put that out there, and it's interesting because our nation is full of people who are really struggling. They're struggling with the direction of this country. That fully 70% of our citizens believe we are headed in the wrong direction, and with that is a lot of creates a lot of difficulty.
So, well, I have to ask you this though: has God had to stay up late at night worrying about what's happening here?
No, I don't believe that God stays up worrying, but our folks certainly do.
No. He's not worried about this at all, right? Now, the God of the universe is waiting for his children to wake up and act like who his children are, right? The only reason all this mess is going on is because God's children don't know who they are and don't act like it. And really it's not a focus, quite frankly, of the government even, because what God calls us to do is declare his sovereignty over this land. Because he's the only one that can change these guys, right? As we speak, I guess Ted Cruz is still on the Senate floor waxing away about this Obamacare thing. Well, I salute Ted for caring enough to go against the grain of everybody. Even when everybody says it's a worthless deal, he's not going to win anything, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? The guys that stormed Normandy had to know that a lot of them would be killed that day. But they went ahead and stormed Normandy. And I don't know that God calls us to win, but he does call us to fight. And there is a difference there. And I think we, for people who are, I know this probably irritates some people because they're looking for the government to be the answer to their solution, to their problems. I will tell them the government never has been, never will be, and is not going to be their answer, right? Only God can give us the wisdom and the direction and the intellect to know how to live through these days. And it's going to be pretty hairy as we go through this. Not just this Obamacare thing. I mean, Obamacare is such a joke of a bill that it might die of its own way.
It's more than a bill, it's law.
Huh?
It's more than a bill now,
it's
a law, and about to be enacted in a week.
Yeah, well, the people who have supported Obama are going to get a taste of how much he's lied about this law and how much there are people who have no idea how much their insurance is going to cost them. Many of them thought that when they passed this bill that somehow their health insurance would be taken care of, and it's not going to happen that way. And for some people, for the first time, they may wake up and realize that when the government speaks, it usually lies. And when we expect the government to take care of us, it's sort of an interesting fact, though, Jack, that in the countries that have the least amount of adoration for God, they have the most adoration for government. And that's what we're seeing here in our country.
You know, it's an interesting thing, and it makes me think of when of how that has changed in Russia, because they tried to make the people so dependent upon the government, and the people finally rebelled. And what did they go back to? They went back primarily to orthodoxy, but went back to Christianity. And even in this great hullabaloo between Putin and Obama over Syria, when Obama went to the G20 summit in St. Petersburg, I nearly said Leningrad, in St. Petersburg, he made a point to visit with a group of gay activists, and he also, you know, criticized Putin for not allowing gays to participate on the Russian team in the Winter Olympics. Although Obama thought it was the Summer Olympics because he was talking about gymnastics team, but at any rate. So Obama took the high ground of promoting immorality in a nation that is orthodox, offending millions of people over there. Could you imagine what the press would be like here in America if Putin came over and addressed the NRA and said, anybody who gives up their guns to this government are fools. Or if he addressed, said, you know, that Christianity is, you know, is all about life. So, you know, all of the abortion mills and institutions and Planned Parenthood are evil and from the devil, what kind of response would be and how he has interfered in the domestic politics of the United States, and yet, you know, there's nobody says anything about that over there. I see all of this, but I see this great tension between people of faith and people who are not of faith. And, you know, here in the last week, you know, we have in Kenya where the Islamists took the mall and they let Muslims go, and their goal was to kill Christians primarily and non-Muslims, but Christians first. And, you know, what do they do? Some people try to talk their way out of it, and so they said, you know, who is the prophet's mother? What's her name? And if they didn't know, they shot them. And, you know, I mean, if you ask a Christian who's Jesus' mother, everybody would know it was Mary. So that was, you know, for them to, as a weeding thing, it did it. In Pakistan, the oldest Christian church in that nation was bombed on Sunday with two, and a second suicide bomber. They're doing the same thing, killing Christians in Syria. And certainly the Brotherhood in Egypt targeted the Coptic Christians, particularly in Alexandria, to the point where there are very few Christians left in Egypt. And this is a massive thing that is going on here. And,
well,
you know,
yeah, a lot of it looks like it's one thing and it's another. For instance, the Syrian deal is not about anything more than a pipeline that the government of Syria does not want the Saudis and the Islamists want the pipeline to go across Syria, and the government doesn't want it, all right? And so the Saudis and that group have hired, as it were, some terrorists to create all kinds of havoc. Now, that doesn't give anybody an excuse for gassing anybody, but you'd have to be pretty stupid with the world looking on to gas somebody. In terms of how Christians are, I mean, the church has never really caused anybody to any grief for how they affect Christians around the world, and they aren't doing it now. So anyhow, they're getting away with it, and it's a shame. But the long and short of it, it's not going to be by our might or our will. I mean, God can't take it. If God's children would humble themselves, God would take care of these people. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that God's children stay silent and allow all this mess to happen without objecting. But at the same time, we can count on Him to come through, if we would. So, anyhow, that's my theory on all that. I'm here just outside of Houston, and I look forward to meeting some people in Houston that are believers and who have a desire to make their lives count in certain ways for the Lord.
Well, in this time, there's such disquietude. I think it's normal for people to be fearful and apprehensive when they see such radical change in the direction of the nation and in everything that we have held dear. What's right is now wrong, and what's wrong is not right. And, you know, if you just basically stand for fundamental morality, you really kind of criticized as castigated as a hate monger. You know, so things are changing so much, and you know, obviously, if we humble ourselves before God, God can change things in a second.
One of the things I noticed at the convention was, and I think you did too, we had all these people come up and talk about how lives had changed as Christians through the book The Search for Significance, found out who they were. And it wasn't that it happened yesterday. It happened at some, you know, clap and be happy meeting. It was in all kinds of different settings. And it comes back to my belief, and that is that God wants his children to know who they are. And, of course, the secret or the search for reality basically deals with where we get off track and actually believe, not fake belief, but we actually believe in things which are false. And when that happens, we get ourselves in trouble. Hey, Jack, my phone's beginning to die here. I'm going to leave the rest of the show to you, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, have a good time. All right, listen.
Okay.
Stacy, tell everybody where they can get the Search for Reality and a little bit about it, so that they'll know, because this is what we're doing and what we're going to be promoting for quite a while now. Go ahead, Stacy.
Certainly. Our website is www.mcgeepublishing.com, and that's MCGEE. The phone number is 800-460-4673. And Jack, working on the book as well as reading it, and being a Christian most of my life and reading Search for Significance in the 80s when it first came out, I have to say that the skills that I acquired working on the Search for Reality have benefited me maybe more so than what I learned in the Search for Significance. That taught me who I was in the Lord, but it didn't teach me to identify these thoughts. I had no idea I could control my thoughts. And if I knew about it, it was like, well, yeah, that's what somebody says, but it wasn't mine, because I couldn't figure out, well, yeah, I can do it, but how do I do it? And Search for Reality tells you exactly how to do it. And the more you use the skill that you acquire, the more successful you become in controlling your thought life. We don't have to entertain these thoughts. And when in the book, and I've heard Robert say many times, when you identify this thought that's coming into your mind as evil, that's a real eye-opener, because nobody wants to think an evil thought. And it helped me stop and step back a little bit and think about what I was allowing into my brain and realizing that not only was it evil, but it was sin. It's sinful to entertain these thoughts and then to confess it to God as sin and cover it with Scripture and the blood of Jesus. It is revolutionary.
Well, I know that's true. You know, the Scriptures say to fret not, and I think that if there's one word that could be used to describe what believers in this generation right now are doing is fretting. They're
Absolutely.
Fearful. They're apprehensive. And that's because their trust is in America and in our lifestyle and in and believing in, you know, in the goodness of the American government, which, you know, most of our lives has been true. I mean, there have been some times when some stuff hasn't been right, and it isn't just the Democrats. Certainly it was that way with Nixon, and even several. But, you know, now the, I'd say that there are people, they're very cynical, and that's kind of a repudiation of trusting in the Lord. And if our home is here, then we're in trouble. If our home is, you know, if it's really true that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, then neither height nor depth nor anything created can separate us.
Yeah.
And if that's a reality, and people, if they really know that, then they can survive anything.
Well, Jack, you know how last week you were talking about religious abuse?
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a lot of thought this week. Or I gave it a lot of thought this week. And in Sunday school last week, I had an opportunity to study some scripture that I don't remember ever studying before. And it was about David, and, you know, that's just a whole other story. But the bottom line is we've bought this bill of goods that our lives are going to be easy and the life of Riley is at our fingertips. And we don't realize the lives that the disciples had. They did not have easy lives. Heck, Paul was boiled in oil. Or John,
you know,
was. And
I think you're exactly right on that.
They suffered for their belief in God. And what they were promised and what they believed would be their reward later far outweighed whatever they had to endure here. And I think the time is coming where we're going to have to realize that what we have as promises in the Word of God is worth more than any conveniences here.
Well, that's spot on accurate. I always find myself trying to, you know, to find a word of encouragement for people who are just so apprehensive. And, you know, you wonder. I don't know what the future is going to be. I do know that we are on a perilous course. I do know that pumping money into the economy will not work, and that there's that the debt has to be paid. I know that Islam has as its goal to push Israel into the sea and to destroy the great Satan, and the great Satan is the United States of America, and that means they want world domination. And we still have a nation where half the people believe that Islam is a religion of peace. Well,
I know, and you know, that is always so strange to me, and especially for women's rights people. They don't even realize that women mean nothing in Islam. They're lower than chattel. There are no women's rights in Islam.
No, you know, I saw where on the internet the other day, where a little nine-year-old girl, was married to a guy, and he had sex with her, and she bled to death.
Oh, geez.
And this was a legal marriage in Islam, and that's what, I mean, Muhammad had, you know, had a bride that was that young himself. And
he did.
And this, how in the world, this is institutionalizing pedophilia.
Yeah.
and making it normal. And of course, that's what the gay, lesbian, and transgender movement is all. That's their next goal, is to have pedophiles renamed to be child attracted. In California, that's all that, you know, you can't call them a pervert anymore. They're child attracted. So that's okay in this perverted society. And their Christianity in California is very powerful. There are some strong churches in California. There are some very strong Christian people. And yet at the same time, you know, they're almost powerless.
Yes.
And yet, you know, that isn't who we are. We are powerful. And when we know who we are and we are allowing God's Spirit to just strengthen us, we are far greater. Despite the NSA listening to this radio program right now, despite the IRS just making our lives miserable, which we know it does and have some real current examples about it, don't we? And,
absolutely.
You know, and how all of this system is geared to control every aspect of our lives and, you know, make us frustrated in the process. And we definitely know about that, don't we? So
yes.
With all of that, you know, with all of that, you know, we still have God is still on the throne, and he is not worried about Barack Hussein Obama, Eric Holder, the Syrian situation.
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi, or any of the rest of it. So, at any rate, tell everybody about where they can get this book again, because it's a really, really good good read. And it's well written. I say that because I penned it. But it's very easy to read, and it's easy to understand, but it's got some strong material in it. This is not fluff. And so many of the Christian books out there are just drivel. But anybody who gets this, I promise you, it is not drivel. Go ahead.
No, it is definitely not watered down. And you can go to our website, which is www.mcgeepublishing.com, MCGEE, and our phone number is 800-460-4673. And I'm available from 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, and I sincerely look forward to assisting anybody who calls.
Yeah, and you know, if folks call at a different time, you know, they can leave a message and a telephone number. I mean, you know, our goal is to help everybody that's out there. And we want to sell books. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, obviously we want to do that. But we wrote this because the need is so great and the difficulty that people are having is so monumental that we thought that it was absolutely necessary. So with that being the case, let me just say this is, this is a difficult time in our nation's history, but this is a good time to be alive.
Yes.
How many times do you get the chance to do something of real value? Standing up for the Lord is something of value, and you get the chance to do it now. And boy, there are very few times where your life can be as important as it is right now. Anyway, all the time that we have. So let me just say to everybody, thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Good night, Jack.